Well, we have two readings tonight from the book of Numbers, and I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 13. And I fear I'm going to be reported to the Equality Police. We're having another man tonight. And I'm not doing D for Dorcas next week either. We're having another man next week, so there we are. So sorry about that, women folk. We're going to look at the story of Caleb. The story of Caleb. And it's strange, the very tenuous links we get between Asaph and Belshazzar, and then Belshazzar and Daniel, and who definitely had a different spirit about him. Well, that summed up the life of Caleb. God said, this man has got a different spirit about him. So we're going to split our reading into two. We'll have a prayer in the middle, and then we'll finish off in Numbers chapter 14. So Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. So we're now looking at the spies who've been sent into the land of Canaan. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of a land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Let us pray. There were giants in the land. Lord, there are giants in this land too. And yet Christians are commanded to go in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, and in his name to preach the gospel of salvation of everyone who will believe in his name. There's giants of disbelief and secularism, of worldliness, of discouragement, all sorts of things, Lord. If we didn't have Jesus Christ on our side, perhaps as Christians we would have well nigh given up. But we persevere, and we believe in the perseverance of the saints. And as the hymn writer said, we will persevere as long as the earnest is given. And tonight, Lord, we are a witness to this area, that there is a God. He speaks to us through his word. He sent his Holy Spirit. There is a living Saviour. We've come to worship him and to sing his praise. And we thank you that in your wisdom, Lord, you've given us this one day in seven, the first day of a new week, when we can draw aside from the world and its ways and all the distractions of the world, a world in which we live. The Lord Jesus Christ said, we're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Bring us out of the world tonight, Lord, in a sense that we don't have a worldly spirit about us, and we're always worrying about things that we have no control over. We've been singing tonight, Lord, some lovely hymns and choruses about your almighty power. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we shouldn't worry about what we have to wear and what we have to eat and what we're going to do. Day by day, Lord, we should commit ourselves into your good hands. You're our Heavenly Father. And now, Lord, at this time and in this place, we commit ourselves to you. Ask you to forgive our sin. Send your Holy Spirit to encourage us, that we too might be men like Caleb. Those of a different spirit. Those who know the realities of life, and yet those who know and trust and love God. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for all the promises you've made. Lord, thank you for every psalm that we've read. Thank you for the promises in the New Testament and the Old Testament, indeed throughout the Word of God, because God cannot lie. It's against his very nature. Lord, you've blessed us with your word and your spirit tonight. Help us to listen and to learn from it, we pray. Amen. 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 Now let's take up our reading again now. Chapter 14, verse 11 to 25, and our text will be verse 24. Now this is when God has objected strongly to the reaction of the spies who have spied out the land. And Moses now must intercede for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I've performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.' And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And our text is verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So, C is for Caleb, a man with a different spirit. Now, before we look at our text tonight, I just want to make some very quick opening remarks about the world in which we live. We are told that we are today to celebrate diversity. We live in a very diverse country, don't we? I don't know where you go on holiday, but this year we went down to Shropshire, which is only about an hour and a half down the road. It's the most rural county in the United Kingdom. It's a fabulous place. We had a lovely time. We went to a little church in Priest in the morning, and in the evening I went through to Wem Baptist Church. Had a thoroughly enjoyable time, so much so that when we got home, my wife said, "Right, I've booked it already for next year, without so much as a by your leave, but God willing, we're going back there." A little place called Sambrook, if you're ever in the area. Very, very strange to see all leave. There's a big firm called Hunter Pack in Tarleton, and they grow carrots and parsnips of the nation. That's where they grow them all. So you'll see Hunter Pack lorries going up and down to Lancashire. Our geography is so diverse. There are people who love going to the Lake District and people who love going to the seaside. Our economics are diverse in that we hear about the people who live down south, you know, around London and things like that, wondering what all the fuss is about when people have got no jobs and things like that. Our food is very diverse, even though you're not having a hot pot for your fellowship evening. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, don't worry. We live in a very diverse nation, and we rejoice in our diversity, but not just Christians, many people are very, very uneasy on what we are told that we must celebrate. So now we have pride marches. Woe betide anyone who speaks against them. Now we have LGBT rights, and that's spreading into our schools so that little boys and girls are being brought up, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, with this dreadful mindset about people who are proud of their diversity, even though it's strictly against what God has taught in his word. And of course, a big thing at the moment, and I do feel sorry for teachers today with these things that they, particularly Christian teachers, the transgender rights lobby, where people want all their rights without any of the responsibilities. Very, very sad. However, in a few weeks' time, perhaps everything will be put in context as we remember God's good hand upon this nation in World War I and also in World War II. Back in World War II, can you imagine it? They had national days of prayer for the safety and the success of this country. Would we do that nowadays, perhaps? Oh, no, that's not diverse enough, is it? But in a couple of weeks' time, God willing, our thoughts will be turned back to how God has protected this country. We can understand, can't we? God doesn't lose his temper as such, but we can understand why he gets very, very angry when the people have been given time and time and time again exhibitions of his goodness and kindness and grace and encouragement to get into this land and to possess this land. And then at the last minute, it seems, God's plans are thwarted and they will not go. There is rank disobedience in those who say they are God's people. They can look back to see how God has miraculously brought them out of Egypt. They can look forward to that place where God has promised he will take them. Are we any different? We have heaven to look forward to. We can look back perhaps on our old life, and yet are we any different from God's people? It's a sad litany, isn't it? Reading through the books of the Bible to see at times how God's people behave with outright disobedience. But all is not lost. And we're going to look tonight at the story of Caleb. Now, I mentioned before to our brother here, I went to school in the good old days. Believe it or not, we had the cane. This young man says, what was the cane? Right, if you had the cane, you wouldn't have to ask that. When we went to sit our 11 plus, we were primed on all the spellings we had to get 100% correct to make sure that we were thoroughly acquainted with what kind of questions would come up in the 11 plus. This is something that we were taught at Orton Christ Church that resonates still with me today. Mr. Noble taught us this little rhyme. If every other Briton, B-R-I-T-O-N, were just like me, what kind of Briton would our Briton be? And he said, you make sure that you live up to the example you've learnt at Christ Church School. Don't let us down. Looking around our church fellowships today, perhaps we could repeat that. If every other Christian were just like me, what kind of church would our church be? Don't answer that question, please. It might really upset you. We can get quite emotional, can't we, when we see how some churches are today. We're not proud or pharisaical and say, oh, we go to a much better church. Yes, we're the odd ones out in Ormskirk because we're not in the Ormskirk Churches Together movement. And we just stand on the Bible and what the Bible teaches without any of the ecumenical movements and spirits and things that go on. But sometimes it's hard being the odd one out, isn't it? Do you remember the little chorus that you learnt? I've written it down here just to make sure I don't forget it. 12 spies went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. What did they see to spy in Canaan? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Sorry, 10 were bad, 2 were good. Some saw the giants tough and tall. Some saw the grapes in clusters fall. Some saw that God was in it all. 10 were bad, 2 were good. 2 against the rest. And God picks out Caleb for being that man who he says has a different spirit. Now then, of course, we know that Christians are all different. Christianity is not, believe it or not, a middle-class religion. Okay? Now, you'd think sometimes, looking at churches, people have nice cars. I always hark on about nice cars here, and the man with a Mercedes isn't here tonight, because he thinks I've got it in for him. I haven't. But people are well-dressed, have nice cars, have no material needs, and people sometimes get the wrong impression. Oh, well, we know why they're Christians. Just like the old story of Job, isn't it? Mark my servant well. Oh, well, we know why Job serves you, God. Look at, you've given him a big family, a great big farm. He's in the peak of health. Job isn't stupid. He knows exactly. He knows what's in it for him. Oh, no, says, you mark my words and mark my servant Job. He's going to be tested beyond measure. I've known Christians who do not fit into the norm. We've got a very good friend over in Howarth called Mick Lockwood. Have you heard of Mick Lockwood? Anyone know Mick Lockwood? Well, Mick Lockwood used to be in a church near Dewsbury. And the Mick Lockwood's organist was a man in his 50s, and his hair was down to here. The first time I saw him, I said, I've come to the wrong place. But what gracious people he had over there. They had their problems and their difficulties. But Mick had no side to him at all. He couldn't do it. He was a teacher in Kirby, for goodness sake. He had all that knocked out of him, I think, when he ended up in Kirby. Promised this lovely council flat that leaked like a sieve and these fabulous children to teach, but Mick didn't mind. He believed he was cut out to be a teacher. What I'm trying to say is this. As we look around us and we see those people who are different, sometimes we equate different with being strange, and they're not like us, so we'll steer clear of them. What a terrible indictment of the church. That's what James spoke about, wasn't it? Where you have set places for different people. Don't you dare sit there. That's where such and such, you'll be in big, big trouble. But God saw the difference in Caleb. Wasn't something on the outside. He looked like a normal man. He spoke like a normal man. He walked and he talked and he acted like a normal man. But there was something inside that others saw and God saw that was really, really different. Now, I'm just reading. I got it for 50 pence last week, and my wife said, don't you dare leave it on the bedside table. It's a second-hand book, and you can smell how mouldy it is. It's not, but it goes in the cupboard every night next to my bed. It's a story of Charles Colson. Do you know who he was? He was a special counsel to President Nixon, and he wrote a book called Born Again. And the thing that attracted him to Christianity was a man called Tom, who was the president of a massive United States company called Raytheon. And he saw there was something different in him. And before we start looking at Caleb, we must ask ourselves a question. How different are we in the eyes of the world? Do people see from the way we speak and the way we treat them, the way we listen to them, our general demeanor in life, that we are different? We are not consumed with all the fears and cares and concern, be it did Liverpool win this weekend, or have I got my lottery ticket in time, or is my health insurance up to date? We are not those people who believe in letting go and letting God. We are those people who live in the settled belief that God is our Heavenly Father and all will be well. That's what Caleb spoke about. He said, yes, I know I was with you. I know who lives there. I know that the enemies of God there. But God is with us. He's promised to take us there safely. So what we're going to look about tonight are 4 points about the story of Caleb. Number one, God knew Caleb was different. How big is your God? Do you know that your God and my God know me better than I know myself and know you better than you know yourself? You have your public persona and people know you. Looking in the dictionary this afternoon, I always like looking in dictionaries to find new words. I've always wondered what garrulous meant. It sums me up, unfortunately. Too talkative. Garrulous. I thought it was something like, you know, a pugitive or a fighting word. I mean, garrulous. No, it's too talkative. We all have our own opinion about ourselves, don't we? People have their opinions about us, but the opinion that counts is what God thinks about us. That's surely the most important opinion. God is almighty, all-wise, all-powerful, all-gracious, all-holy. He knows us forensically. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He was there when we were born. He'll be there when we die. He's seen our life in all its stages. He's seen when we were converted. He's seen the difference that Jesus Christ has made to our life. He knows our fears and our hopes and our ambitions and our plans for the future. All things are in his hand. How comforting to know that God knew that Caleb was different. This is not a case of a man looking around and deciding, well, I want to be different, and I'll say something that pleases, because it didn't. The people perhaps took great exception when they heard 10 men speaking of all the problems and difficulties, and Caleb speaking along with Joshua. What have we got to be worried about? Do we love God? Do we serve God? God will be for us. Now, if we know, if we understand how God knows that Caleb was different, well, that's a great encouragement. Because sometimes people get us wrong, don't they? Sometimes we'll do something, God looks at the motivation. And sometimes we'll be motivated to do the right thing in the right way, and then it goes horribly wrong, and people say, well, we know what you're like. You get us all wrong. Well, it happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't it? The Pharisees always picking on the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did. Jesus Christ was love personified. He always did the right thing. God knew that. God blessed him, and God honored him, and God lived through him. He was the Son of God. Should be a great encouragement to know that God knows that we are different. He's put his Holy Spirit within us. Don't beat ourselves up when we stand and compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to Jesus Christ primarily. And yes, we can all perhaps shrink from that at times. But when we understand how God sees us, that's a great encouragement. Secondly, how did God know that Caleb was different? Because he says it. He says in 14:24, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. God saw, and I'm quoting Matthew Henry here, that Caleb followed him universally, with no division, cheerfully, with no argument or cavils, constantly, without declension, and uprightly. He was no hypocrite. How are we going to follow Jesus Christ in the Christian life in the same way? It's not impossible. You know, don't you, that if you're a Christian, you are to follow Jesus Christ. And how are you to follow him? Universally, cheerfully, constantly, and uprightly. Being a Christian is not just coming to church on a Sunday and then for the rest of the week. My word, that's when it really matters, the rest of the week. I always remember an old lady from Bickerstaff who used to come to Orton Park. She said, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian in church. That's no problem. It's when you're out in the world and the temptations are there. That's when it's hard to be a Christian. It would be the easiest thing in the world for Caleb to have just buckled perhaps and say, oh, well, I better not say anything. We'll have a riot on our hands. No, he stood up. He was convinced, and God knew how he followed him. So we shouldn't mouth those choruses. We should really mean them. All the way my Saviour leads me. We believe that, don't we? We can pray to God every single day, Lord, lead me this day. I don't know if I mentioned, we had John Palmer a couple of months ago when our pastor was on his sabbatical. And one of the things that John was preaching about was wisdom. And he said, can we look back at the end of every day and say, I should have done that and I did it. Thank God for his help. Or conversely, Oh, given the wisdom I have, I wish I hadn't said or have done that. I must seek forgiveness for that. It's a constant battle. It's a constant walk. One of the things that Matthew Henry talks about is constantly without declension. Yes, it's hard. This is why being a Christian is not keeping up a religious front. This is why real Christians confess, not just to one another and not just to God, but to those who are outside as well, those who aren't Christians. I am not perfect. Lady I used to work for at the Christian charity just outside Preston, whose name I've forgotten, but anyway, International Aid, she said, we're all works in progress. But what's the sign of a Christian? They persevere. They do not give up. They do not listen to themselves or Satan and say, oh, well, I failed again. I might as well give up. No. God knew Caleb was different. How did he know that? Because he saw that he followed him fully. This is where the challenge comes, doesn't it? Constantly. Oh, yes, follow God. No. Follow him fully. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be pressed into the mould of the world. And we are constantly being challenged, aren't we, to fit in and to be like everybody else because the world does not like those people who are different. Well, Christians are different. We've been called to be different. And we have to be different if a Christian faith means anything at all. So we read, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We read in Isaiah, I will hold you by your right hand. You can't get closer than that, can you? If you've ever taken your little grandson or granddaughter for a walk, you hold them by the right hand. In the book of Isaiah, that's saying how close God is to us when we are following him. He's given us his lamp and light of his word. He says he'll hold us by our right hand. He says, this is the way, walk in it. And he also says, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. I always thought that was in the New Testament. It's not. It's in Isaiah, in the Old Testament. I was always convinced Peter said that. He didn't. Isaiah said it. The Gospel of Isaiah is brilliant for these encouraging sayings on how we must follow God, the God who will hold us by our right hand, the God who will lead us. Our third point is this. Every Christian must be different and obey God not on our feelings or our emotions or when opposition strikes not to follow God because the Bible tells us the fear of man is a snare. We have got the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus Christ is the head of our church. And by dint of that, he is our Lord and Master. He has told us that he has not been anywhere and done anything that, in a sense, we cannot do. Now, we're not going to be miracle workers or things like that. But we do know, and we have proved to ourselves, surely, that we're different. And we've seen God help us and answer prayer and bless us and use us. We have a different spirit within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and self-control. That marks us out as different from everybody else. We're not proud of it in that we've not manufactured it and we're not superhuman. Of course we're not. But you can't keep a good man or good woman down, and sooner or later people will see that you're different. They certainly did with Caleb. And we're called to be different, not for different sake, but we're like salt and light in the world. We know, don't we, next door you've got your harvest offering for Caring for Life. What a brilliant work they do. We know, don't we, of Christians down the years who've been different and God has blessed them. Elizabeth Fry, the lady who set up the Christian Police Association, people who have worked tirelessly to influence parliaments and things like that. And despite the giants that stalk the land in this country at the moment, we're still called to face up to them and to fight them in the power and strength of God. A link with Daniel, a man with a different spirit. God's people are strong and will do exploits. That's what we need today, isn't it? Christians who will do exploits. Because there's lots of territory, if you like, to take back. When you think of all that we've lost, do you remember the time when you would never go shopping on a Sunday because the shops weren't open? And my brother-in-law, who was a minister in Scotland, said they didn't need to pass a law about Sunday opening in Scotland because nobody would ever think that the shops would open anyway. Same in Northern Ireland. That's like going back into a time warp. If you've ever been to Northern Ireland on a Sunday, the number of places that will not open. Our pastor was saying the other week, when you go back to Northern Ireland, you can speak to people and say, are you saved? And they'll know exactly what you mean. Say that to someone in this country, they'll say, what are you talking about? There are exploits to be done. Caleb was one such person. And yet we seem to have lost in the church today our daring and our faith in a great God that we can do exploits for him. When we see at the things which are going on, how we need Christian teachers and policemen and Christians in all sections of society to stand up, represent, do exploits for God. Finally, the challenge to all of us. The difference in us must be very, very clear. If we're in Christ, the Bible tells us some wonderful, wonderful promises. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things are new. Now that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? We have no excuse to live lackluster, boring Christian lives and just blame it on our temperament. Well, that's just what I'm like. We have been renewed by God. There have been some amazing people who've done some amazing things when they've been born again. We need Calebs in the church today. Those of a different spirit who will stand up and show that they are different because they believe in a great God and they want to do great things for him. Now, I always thought there's a verse in the Bible that goes something like this, quit ye like men, i.e. be strong. And I also, that's a great text. Well, the Philistines said that when they were up against their enemies. They were frightened stiff. The big strong Philistines. What are we going to do? We're going to quit ourselves like men. They didn't stand a chance, if you believe in chance. Charles Colson, he said, I've been given a second chance. And people speak about Jonah. He was given a second chance, etc. Well, salvation isn't down to chance or anything like that. But I think you know what I mean anyway. Very loose interpretation of a word chance. Quit ye like men. Now, Paul replicates that in 1 Corinthians 16:13, where he tells us to be strong. People are looking for someone in this land of ours to show them some sort of lead. We can be difference, and the difference can be clear. The very fact we're met in church tonight and we're not watching or been watching songs of praise at home for, oh, well, that's my spiritual over for today. I've watched songs of praise and sung some nice hymns. No, we want to fellowship together. We want to meet around the word of God. We want to commit ourselves to God. We want to follow God fully and wholly. We want him to use us and to bless us. We hope to be like Caleb, men of a different spirit who'll make a difference in the world, who'll have an impact in the world, in their youth club, in their churches, in their Sunday schools, in their community. Because we're doing it for Christ's sake, and God's given us his spirit. He will honour those who honour him. Now then, we have two hymn books at our church, and we have a nice little chorus book. And this is one of the choruses we sang this morning. You might know it. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, Make me, Saviour, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. It's lovely to think about a hymn like that. It's a lot different when we're in the workplace. It's a lot different when sin can sometimes cast over some amazing temptations. We must ask God to make us and help us be different day after day after day. Now, in a sense, we could say that Caleb perhaps was the apple of God's eye. And that'll give you a clue to what we're going to look at next week from Psalm 17, where David, thinking about himself, says, I'm the apple of God's eye. I think that's a lovely, lovely phrase. But God willing, we'll look at that next week under D for David. Thank you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, you've given us your word. And tonight we've heard a little bit about Caleb. We pray, Lord, that we might know that we are yours and you're our God. And in the sense and the knowledge and the awesome responsibility we have as ambassadors of Christ, we might live in the power of the Holy Spirit day by day. We might persevere, and by our very perseverance, we might want to follow you wherever you lead us. Thank you that you're a kind and loving God and a forgiving God. You're a very merciful God and long-suffering. You're faithful. We do commit ourselves to you now and ask that your good hand might be upon us tonight, this week, and forevermore. Amen.